Wake up with Robbie and Wendy for breakfast.
Can we talk about Australia?
Well, it depends. I mean, I'm just back from America, and every single person in America seems has got a big flag in their front yard. Have you got a big Australian flag in your front yard, Robbie? How much do you love your country?
Well, it's an interesting concept, isn't it?
How patriotic are you?
Well, patriotism...
is the refuge of what, scoundrels, something like that. So Paul Daly joins us.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Robbie. Morning, Wendy.
Paul is a journalist with The Guardian, and he's written one of these Melbourne University Press little books. His is on patriotism. And, you know, it is such a fascinating topic. You heard in the news there earlier, Paul, a bit of a stoush developing about how much money's been spent on the new war memorial. Mm. And... this is right what you are on about. This is in the block hole for you.
Yes, it is. I mean, there's this extra $500 million spending on the war memorial. The notion has been around, or the idea has been around for some time now. In fact, it was announced even before it went to cabinet, I understand. So it's a lot of money at this moment, right after a four-year centenary celebration or commemoration of Anzac, in which... $600 million has already been spent.
Mm. Well, part of one of the things that you do in the book here, it says you trace the arc of a once quiet and dignified commemoration to a modern sound and light show. Let's go back to these foundation myths that we have in Australia. You say the interesting thing about them is that they have been drawn from two experiences that happened overseas, 1788 and Anzac.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, I've spent a lot of time sort of tracing some of those seminal Anzac battles. I've been to the Middle East and Europe, and I did this over many years because I wanted to sort of get a sense of why Anzac was so important to Australia. I wanted to understand this foundation myth. And I came home not understanding it at all. Of course, I was terribly moved by the humanity of what had happened in these wars. It's impossible not to be moved. But what I didn't understand was what was the real genesis of our nationhood. And it took me a long time to realise that actually that was at home, and that was in 60,000 years of Indigenous antiquity.
When you're talking about days like Anzac Day and increasingly Australia Day, they are such difficult topics to discuss in a rational way without a heated debate occurring a lot of the time. And I guess particularly with Anzac Day, as you mentioned, you are marking an incident that happened where a lot of people died horribly in the name of the country that we live in. So I'd love your thoughts about that, about how you go about sort of divesting that... that the heat of the argument of these.
Sure. I think you're right, Robbie. There is an awful lot of emotion attached to these issues. I think we need to have respectful conversations about them, and I think it's totally valid to question these foundation myths and to look at why it is that we cling to them as a nation. I think Anzac is... you know, a terribly moving day, but it used to be a day of quiet personal reflection, and it's become bigger and bigger over the years.
Yeah, I think we all were all shocked and really saddened by some of the images from Anzac Cove a few years ago when it was basically parties going on over there. You know, this sense of what does it all mean?
Yeah, I mean, there is that, but I think in this essay I've really tried not to be prescriptive about that. I've sort of drawn it into myself, and it's a personal meditation about what I feel about the country.
And we'll get to that just in a moment. But just generally speaking, do you think that we are becoming more patriotic as the years go by? And where do you draw the line between patriotism and jingoism?
Well, I do think there has been a creeping militarisation of Australian history in recent years. And I think the whole Anzac thing and the commemoration of the First World War over the past 4 years has eclipsed so many other things, not least the Indigenous story at Australia's heart. Where do I think it becomes jingoistic? I think there are moments, terrible moments in Australia's recent history, where that patriotism does seem to explode into jingoism. And one of them, of course, was Cronulla, where patriotism was attached to a notion that certain people should be excluded. And in fact, the name of Anzac was invoked by many people on that day when it came to displays of aggression to those that were seen as outsiders, as people who were infringing on the beach.
Well, let's get to the real heart and soul of your essay, and it's so beautifully written. And you tell a story about travelling north. Tell us that story.
Yeah, I was really privileged. It's 4 or 5 years ago now. I hadn't spent a lot of time in Indigenous communities, but I was in northeast Arnhem Land, and I was up there to write about a very important man called Jolu Gurawiwi, who is the keeper of the Yidaki, the didgeridoo. He wanted to return to his ancestral home, an island off the coast. So we piled into a boat. There were many people, dogs. There was a film crew also. And along the way, an elderly lady, Jalu's sister, who's no longer with us, so I won't name her, but she was really describing the land that we were passing, the promontories and the headlands. And in Indigenous belief, the land is animated, of course, so there's this lovely merging of the physical and the spiritual. So she was describing to me along the way the totems that were protecting us and that they had prayed to give us safe passage. I won't go into what happened on the island, that's another story, but travelling back through a very precarious bit of water called the Hole in the Wall, we struck a storm. And they had prayed to the spirits, but then we had a prayer meeting in the hull of the boat where we joined hands and prayed to God. And this I found incredibly moving.
As in Western God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Incredibly moving and fascinating. But then I asked this elderly lady afterwards to explain to me where God fitted into the songlines. And it all made perfect sense in you know, a linear belief. She said, you know, the spirits were always there and God was always there, but we didn't discover the Christian God until the early 20th century. But don't forget, Islam was also there too, a couple of centuries earlier. So there was this fabulous belief system that was explained to me beautifully. And this was a really defining moment in my life, actually.
And you say that the reason it was so defining, it made you think about what the nature of country is and who Australia is. And this is what a lot of your book is about, that this recent military history has really obscured the idea of the very notion of who we are.
Indeed. And you know, this the whole Anzac military history too has eclipsed what happened on the frontier.
You write a lot about the frontier wars. Yeah,
I do write a lot about the frontier wars, Wendy, because I think it's been eclipsed by the Anzac story. You know, we're about to spend another $500 million on the Australian War Memorial, and there is not a single monument to the dead, the 60,000 plus dead of the frontier wars in the national capital, Canberra. Well, actually, there's one, and it's in the National Gallery, but there is no. There's no monument.
It's those funeral logs.
Those beautiful poles. Yeah. That just turned 30. That monument. Yeah.
So, Paul, tell us in the Australia that you'd like to see, sort of melding all these experiences together. You're saying that we have these stories. They are rich and they are nuanced. There are many, many of them, but we don't give them the time or the attention that we should, and they could be really, really rich and rewarding to us.
Absolutely, and it's evidenced by the statement from the heart after Uluru in 2017, where the wording said, "We invite you to walk with us in a movement of the Australian people for a better future." That's a hand across the divide. Embrace our culture and let's rethink and show the world who we really are and display that Indigenous antiquity as part of our heart.
I mean, and just finally, Paul, the book is called On Patriotism. Mm. What do you think of patriotism?
I think patriotism is great so long as it's grounded in the right emotion and fact. I think if it's exclusive and in any way xenophobic, that's not a patriotism I want. I want a patriotism that's inclusive and that's outward looking and that showcases the best and not the worst of what we've got.
We've got so much to draw on.
Yeah, well, that's right. There's a lot of material.
Does it mean we're not quite grown up yet?
Well, we're a young country. You know, we're only, 117 years since Federation. But we're an old country too. There's 60,000 years of civilization here. Mungo Man was found 40 years ago. The remains of the oldest remains of a modern man in the world. This is really something to be proud of. Amazing people have been walking this continent for a long, long time.
Well, it is a beaut little book, and it's one of those nice little pocket books that you can pop into your bag and read wherever you are. So good on you, Paul. Thank you so much for bringing us the book this morning.
Oh, thanks, Wendy. Thanks, Robbie. It's been a delight.
And there we are, Paul Daly. It's out with Melbourne University Press, and it's on patriotism.
Wake up with Robbie and Wendy for breakfast.